Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find at the third line from the top on Daf Lamites. The Mishnah, Shor Shel Pikeach Shenogach Shor Shelcheire Sheite Vekotan Chayav. The shor owned by a man of sane mind, a normal individual, we refer to him as a Pikeach, gourd, the animal owned by a deaf mute, or an imbecile, or a minor. So the Pikeach is Chayav to compensate. Shor Veshel Cheirish Sheite Vekotan, an ox owned by one of these lesser qualified individuals, shenogach shor shel pikeach poter, if their animal gourd the animal of a person of normalcy, so they are exempt. The Rashi elaborates on this. So let us look at the Rashi. Let's learn the Rashi together. The Rashi at the beginning of the Mishnah commentary, three lines from the top of the page, Shor shel cheirish shenogach shor shel pikeach poter. The Gemara meforesh, in the Gemara, it will be explained, De'ein ma'midim apotropos, we do not set up, the court does not appoint an executor, letam, for the purpose of collecting damages wrought by a tam animal, a docile animal, ligvois migufo, for collection that would ordinarily be made from the animal itself. Avol, benizke muad. However, if the aggressor animal is a muad, an animal that's already demonstrated its propensity towards goring, mamidim apotropos lishor hayesoimim, then the court would set up an executor regarding the animal owned by orphans. Orphans are, generally speaking, tanim. There's a discussion about that point, but we'll assume that for right now. Liois b'mokam abaylim, for the executor to be representative in the place of the owner. L'kayim, in order to fulfill the Torah requirement, v'hu'ad b'volav. Testimony has to be said concerning the aggressor animal in front of its owner. So the apotropos, the executor, represents the owner. V'goivim hanezek minichse hakarka sheyesomim, and in such a case, we would collect payment from the land owned by the orphans, by the minors. Avol tam, when it comes to an aggressive animal that hasn't demonstrated its propensity toward goring, a tam animal, we call it a docile animal, digvioso migufahu, collection for its type damage is from the animal itself, not from property, fahu metaltalin, and it's portable. It's not a piece of real estate. Ein mamidim apotropos lekach. We don't appoint an executor for collection from their portables. Kinamrinon beharkama, as it is said in the first parak of this Masechta, where the expression Shava Kesef appeared, Malameid She'ein Beizdin Nizkokim El Chosim She'esh Lohem Achrayas. Vukimno Biyasmi, the Mishnah that used the expression Shava Kesef was a reference to the fact that Beizdin does not set up an instrument of collection, a method of collection, unless collection is made from a property, from real estate, referred to here by the term nechosim sheish lemachrayas. And Rashi points out that the Gemara there was referring to a case of minors that are orphans that have to make the payment. So only in a case of payment made from their real estate would the court get involved. This is to the exclusion of payment made in the case of a shor tam, that they own that wrought damage, where the payment is made from the animal itself. The animal itself is sold, and payment is made therefrom. In such a case, the court doesn't get involved with collecting damage payment from the yesoimim, from the ketanim, from these, we'll call them inept individuals, the cheru sheit v'katan. Let's turn back to the Mishnah. Shor shel cheru sheit v'katan shenogach, in the event that the animal of one of these inepts does damage, beisin mamidim lem apotropos, umeidin lohem b'fnei apotropos. Rashi says, me'idim behen b'fnei apotropos, because al-kadai t'chashta, they're thinking right now. And when you see the expression kasal kadaitach, you know that that whatever we're going to say will be changed later. But in the meantime, the thinking is the high me'idim bohem. The Mishnah's reference to testifying the ka'omar is lemigvi chatzin nezik tamus, for the purpose of collecting from the cheru sheitei v'katan payment for the tam damage. The kashya reisha l'seifa. Well, then that would run in direct opposition to what we said earlier in the reisha. Earlier, we saw this in Rashi. You see little arrows maybe to the side of the Rashi commentary that enables you to see where this was said before. That in the reisha, we said to the contrary. L'achar shloisha edius nasem wad mishan nezik shom eli, after three testimonies concerning three separate gorings, then the animal would be declared a muad, and full payment would be made from their assets, from their properties. We turn back to the Mishnah. Mispakeach achirish. We just described the ox owned by a chirish. Chirish shatu v'kotam. But and we pointed out that Edu's testimony would be said in front of a court-appointed executor that would result in the animal, if it gores three times, the animal owned by the cheresh becoming a muad. However, nispakeha cheresh, the cheresh became healthy. Nishtafe hashot eshoita, the insane became sane. The higdil hakotan, the minor, reached adulthood. Chozer the Tamusa Divrei Rabbi Meir. That animal that had been declared a muad now resumes its tam status. It returns to being a tam. The concept here is what Rashi, which really what the Gemara terms later, Rishus Mishane. The ownership of the animal, the domain in which the animal is found, affects the status of the animal. So that if the animal was a muad in the domain of one, and it then is transferred to the domain of two, it may have been a muad in the domain of one. Once it becomes owned by two, it reverts to tam. In this case, the two domains are really the same physical human being. However, their state of eligibility changed from ineligible, from inept, to qualified. That's also called a change of rishus, of domain. So that in your mind's eye, according to Rebbe Meir, this change in their mental status causes the animal's legal status to change from muad to tam. That's called rishus mishane. Just to translate those words, rishus means domain or ownership. Mishane will, upon its change, make a change in the animal. Rabbi Yossi Omer, we continue in the Mishnah. Harehu b'chezkoso. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that whatever status it had when the owner was inept, the owner becomes healthy, the animal's status doesn't change. Sharhu Itstadin. This is an animal that you might associate it with something we call bullfights. It's an ox that was used for sport, probably in Roman society, that was trained or incited to gore. It's incited to gore, and let's say it gores and kills, eino chayav misa, as opposed to a regular domestic ox that kills a human being, that animal is put to death. This animal that's been incited and trained to kill, if it does kill, it is not put to death. Shenemar ki yigach, v'lo shiyagihu. The pasuk indicates where an animal on its own decided to kill, not an animal that was yagihu, was caused to kill, that was incited to kill. The Gemara now raises the question that we saw Rashi allude to earlier. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, we have on the side a Nosei/Mivneh heading. Nosei, topic heading, Mivneh, structural note. The diamond that you see highlights the word Alma in the Gemara. HaGemara, and we read our note, HaGemara ma'alestira umetartza. The Gemara will raise a contradiction and also resolve it. Be'inyin hamodas apotropus letam ligvois migufo. Regarding the issue of appointing a court executor representing the inepts, the disqualified type individuals, like the minor, in the event that the minor owned docile animal causes damage, will we set up an apotropus, an executor, ligvois migufo, to arrange collection from the animal itself, but mikre shortam shall chirishetu v'kotan shenogach. In the event that the shortam, the docile type ox owned by a chirishetu v'kotan, does an act of goring. Now the Gemara. Note that we have a long question marking. Just surveying the Gemara as we often recommend when learning in our marked Gemaras. You simply survey ahead, your eye catches two diamonds within this long question. The word Alma means the result is, or so you see that. The first diamond introduces the expression, Ein mamidim apotropus latam ligvois migufa. We don't set up, we don't appoint an apotropus for collection in the event of tam damage. The next diamond, Alma, what does it say? Mamidim lohem apotropus latam ligvois migufa. We do set up. And these two diamonds are conclusions from our Mishnah, the Tanaic source, i.e. our Mishnah. What kind of conclusion should we reach regarding appointing an executor to collect in the case of originated damage? The Gemara. Ha gufa kasha. The Mishnah appears to be inherently contradictory. Amris, you say on the one hand, Shor shel chayri shayta v'koton, shenogach shor shel pikeach potter. The shor of one of these inepts that causes damage to an animal owned by a pikeach, there is exemption. There's no payment that's made. Well, so what would that indicate? No payment made. Alma, we see from here, ein mamidim apotropus litam ligvois migufa. We don't set up, we don't appoint an executor in the case of tam damage done by an ox owned by chereshet v'katan. Tam damage is paid for migufo. Ligvois migufo means to make collection from the animal itself. But anyway, we don't set up an apotropus. Amo seifa. Continue with a citation from our Mishnah. Shor shel chirish shoita v'katan she nogach beizdin mamidim lohem apotropus umeidin lohem bifnei apotropus. An apotropus is set up. Alma amamidim lohem apotropus latam ligvois migufo. So you see from the Seifa citation that we do appoint an executor for tam collection. The Gemara answers, Oma Rova, Hachi Kotoni. Thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. So let us just introduce with the words we've written between the lines, namely that Le'olam lo goyvin chatzi nezek mem. In general, this is what I just mentioned, was that which we've written between the lines, that by general rule, we don't make collection, we don't appoint an apotropos to make a formal collection from, in the case of a tam aggressor, which would be a chatzi nezek, half damage payment. So what does the Mishnah mean to tell us? It means, v'im huchsuku nagchanin, if the animal is determined to be a goring animal, by its nature is a goring animal, it's a muad, if it attains that status, then ma'amidim lohem apotropos, we would then set up an executor for payment to be made, then payment is not made from the animal itself. It's not a migufo payment. It's from their assets, from their properties, from their real estate. And hence, you don't run into the problem of metatalin, of portables. And umi'idin lohen b'thnei apotropos, umashvinin lohen muad. We do accept testimony in front of a court-appointed executor that would result in the animal becoming a muad. Mashvinon lu, we make it into a muad through the three testimonies concerning three separate gorings. And what's the purpose in that? The chihadav nogach l'shale me'aliyah, that when it gores after it's been established to be a muad, then payment will be made me'aliyah. The word aliyah is a reference to, we can say, from assets, as opposed to from the animal itself. The Gemara now gets into a new discussion coming off of this restatement of the Mishnah, focusing on the word me'aliyah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Shor muad shel cheresh shoita v'katan shenogach mishalim in aliyah. The shor owned by one of these inepts that damages, payment is made min aliyah. Shnei Deos b'Gemara Ma'aliyah Shalmi. We'll see two opinions in the Gemara from whose assets. One, Shel Yisayim, from the orphans, from the minors themselves. Or two, Shel Apotropos, from the executor. Now, if the executor is going to have to pay, just recognize Ulechigadli HaYisayim Chayzer V'Nifram, and when the Yisayim become adults, then he will extract from them the money that he had laid out prior in the interim. Now the Gemara. Me'alias man. From whose assets are we going to pay for the damages that the muad owned by the Cherusheit V'Katan had wrought? Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'alias Yosoimim. Rabbi Yochanan says, from the assets of the orphans, of the minors, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Omar me'alias apotropos, from the assets of the apotropos. And the idea being that the apotropos didn't guard the animal sufficiently well, so we have this expectation that he will lay out the funds. However, as we indicated earlier in our introductory remarks, he will be entitled to receive compensation when they get older. But in the meantime, we will collect from his funds. The Gemara asks, "Umi Om Rabbi Yochanan Hachit? Would Rabbi Yochanan have said such a thing from that from the assets of the Yisayimim?" Notice we have a long question here. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Abasi Ein is Kokin Lenichse Yisayimim. Elohim Kane Ribis Oicheles Bayan Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Here the emphasis is on Rabbi Yochanan. That's why you see his name is dashed underlined. Rabbi Yochanan, we'll say, adds to what Rabbi Yehuda said, that we don't collect from the properties of Yisomim. Rabbi Yehuda had said, unless their father had, let's say, taken a loan that had interest attached to it, and they're currently paying out interest until the loan is actually paid, so we want to sell off their properties to pay off the loan so that they don't continue to experience the additional loss involved in interest payments. But Rabbi Yochanan says, O lishtar sheyesh bo ribis, oy luksubas isha mishum mazoni. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in the sense that if there is interest that's being collected from them, a shtar is a document, we'll say a written documented loan that their father had taken, so they are paying out interest in the meantime. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says we only under those circumstances will we sell their property, or that there is a widow that is being paid maintenance costs. We call that mizonos, food costs. And that as long as she hasn't received her ksuba payment, she is drawing from their assets. So in order to prevent her continued drawing from their assets, we sell off their properties to pay off the ksuba, the financial guarantee that a woman receives when she becomes a widow. What's the main point here, without getting too involved with details? We see, focusing on our markings, we have underlined Ein is kokin lichsi yisayimim, and we dashed underline Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that we don't sell off properties of yisayimim except for two exceptional cases. Not to pay off damages, however, that their animal might have caused. Well, that's a very strong question, and hence the Gemara says, Apel, switch around the shitos. Rabbi Yochanan Mameli Asapatropsin, the payment that was alluded to in the Mishnah, as we had reread it, the payment is from the Aliyah of the Apotropos, and Rabbi Chanina says, May Aliyas Yisoymen. So he is the opinion that will say, we pay from the Yisoymen assets to cover the damage that their animal caused. Question: Omar Rava Mishum de Kashia de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan Mashvis lay the Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Toye. Just because we had what appeared to be a contradiction in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, you switch around the Shitas and now have Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina saying something that's mistaken. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Dayanahu v'nochis le'oimke d'dina. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina was a dayan. He was a judge, and he understood the depth of justice. And he would never say that we sell off properties of Yisoyimim. And le'loilam lo tepuch. We go back to the way we presented the opinions originally. Do not switch them around. Umazik Shiny. The case of Mazik is different. So we go back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says we do not collect from the properties of Yisoyimim. He mentioned two exceptional cases, and we add the case of Mazik as well. So that in general, we keep Rabbi Yochanan's original comment of Ein Nizkokin Lenichsi Yisoyimim. And that is true, with the exception of the case of Mazik, in addition to the Ksubas Isha and the Ribas cases we mentioned earlier. And now, explanation. And you can see we have a double underline marking to highlight the two opinions and the final explanation. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Me'alias Yisoyimim, the E Amris Me'alias Apotropos. Rabbi Yochanan says we collect directly from the Yisoyimim assets, because if you were to say that we're going to collect from the assets of the apotropos of the court-appointed executor, then mimnei, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, mimnei velo avdi. People will mimnei, the word monea means to restrain or withhold themselves, resist accepting the role of executor. People will say, what do I need this headache for? That if some damage happens, then I'm going to have to lay out the funds to compensate for damage that their animal did. I don't want to be an apotropos, and the public will end up losing out in the absence of having people willing to serve as executors. So Rabbi Yochanan says, because of that consideration, we're not going to collect from the apotropos. Rabbi Yosi Bichanin Omer Me'aliv Asapotropos, we do collect from the apotropos, and we mentioned before the reason is that he has some level of responsibility. He didn't watch the animal sufficiently well. And as far as the consideration of people not wanting to serve as apotroposim, that we solve by enabling them to collect, let's say, compensation for what they had laid out when the orphans, the minors, reach godly adulthood, when they reach 13 years of age. Notice we have a topic heading, a nose, and on the side we've written Hagemora Moichicha Shamodas Apotropis Latam Ligvois Migufo Hino Machloikis Tanoim. The Gemara will show that the issue of appointing an apotropos to collect for damages done by a tam, and I emphasize that, tam, is in fact a machlokes tanoim. Up till now, we've created the impression that for tam, we create an impression from out based on the resolution of what appeared to be a contradiction in our Mishnah, that we would not appoint an apotropos, an executor, to arrange for tam payments. That, however, is now going to be shown to be a machlokes tanoim, a tanaic disagreement. We have, by way of markings, a long point. Part of this, toward the latter part of the long point, diamonds will appear with little colorations in opposite directions. And at that point, the Gemara comes to its respective conclusions that on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice a little later, we have a Mivneh, structural note, and the diamonds represent Havlotas Shtei Deos HaChokos. We're going to be highlighting the two opinions that disagree on this topic of appointing an apotropos for tam payment purposes. The Gemara. Umamidim lohem apotropin letam ligvois migufo. That issue, notice we have singular quotation marks so that you read that as a phrase, as a concept. The appointment of an apotropos for tam collections, which are made from the animal itself. Tanoi hi. Tanoi means it's a machlokes tanoim. Desanyo. Shor she nisharshu bailov. Vishinishtatu bailov. Vishahochu bailov nisayam. An ox whose owner became a cheresh, became a deaf mute, or became an imbecile, or the owner went abroad. Yehuda ben Akusa Omar Sumchus Hare Hu Betamuso Ad Shiaidu Boy Bifnei Habailim. This phrase will be explained later in the Gemara. If we translate it literally, it would mean that it remains a tam until testimony is said in front of the owner. That doesn't, the literal translation has little meaning though. V'chachomim omrim, mamidin lohem apotropin, umaridin bohen bifnei apotropin. The chachomim disagree with Sumchus. Again, we'll see the chachomim presented later, but in the meantime, they refer to the establishing, the appointing of an apotropos, and testimony that would be said in front of the apotropos. So far, we're not offering any explanation to the source other than some simplistic translation. We continue with a citation from what we termed, based on the Gemara later on, the Seifa. You'll notice we wrote in the word Seifa, because later, after this long point, the Gemara will make reference to this section of the source. Nispakeach HaCheresh Nishtafna Shoita Vehigdila Koton. These inepts became qualified. The Cheresh became healthy, regaining his audio capacity, and the imbecile regained his sanity, and the Koton reached adulthood. Ubo Bailo Nisayam. And the owners came, that's, I should say, the additional case of the owner we saw before, the owner having left the immediate vicinity, and now have returned from abroad. Yehuda ben Akusa Omar Sumchus Chozar Letamuso Ad Shiidu Bo Bifnei Bailim. Rabbi Yossi Omar Harei Hu Bechezkoso. Sumchus indicates that with the change in status of the owner, there is a change in status of the animal. It regains its tam status, and Rabbi Yossi says not so. The animal remains in whatever state it had been prior to the owner coming back, whether it's a physical return or a mental or medical return. The Gemara now continues. Amri, my harehu b'cheskoso b'tamuso, dekomar sumchus. What did sumchus mean? We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where this quote comes from. What does sumchus mean in the source when he says regarding the owner of an animal that became a cheresh, a shoita, or went abroad? What does sumchus mean when he says harehu b'tamuso? If you're to suggest that an animal under the control or under the ownership of one of these inepts cannot become a muad, that can't be what Sumchus is saying. From the fact that you see in the latter part of the Mishnah, of the Tanaic source, that is, Sumchus says the animal, once the owner becomes qualified, the animal returns to being a tam. So what does that indicate as far as prior to the owner regaining health? Michlau dayayit. It would then indicate to us that it could become a muad under the ownership of an inept owner. An unqualified type owner. Ela mai harehu b'tamuso. So then what does harehu b'tamuso mean? Harehu b'tmimuso delo machserinon leg. Rashi, let's go immediately to Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Harehu b'tmimuso delo govi negichos tamus minei. No collection is made for gorings that it makes as a tam. The ain mamida mapatropis latam ligvois migufo. So even though the animal can become muad, the prior gorings that it does before it becomes a muad are not paid for through setting up an apotropis to make the collection from the animal itself. The words of the Gemara, once again, harehu b'tmimuso, remains a tam, in the sense that no payment is made for the tam gorings, the lo machsirin alei. We don't deduct, we don't pay for those damages. Alma, what do we see from this? Ein mamida mapatropis latam ligvois migufo. We do not set up an apotropis, an executor, to arrange for the payments to be made from the animal itself. We continue quoting from the source. V'chachomim omrim ma'amidim lohen apotropis umi'idin lohen b'fnei apotropis. The Chachomim say we do set up. The Chachomim disagree with Sumchus. You saw them in the source above, so that they appear disagreeing with Sumchus. Sumchus says that you don't set up an apotropis. They disagree. So Alma, we see from this, Mamidim apotropis latam ligvois migufo. We do appoint an apotropis, an executor, to arrange for the payments to be made from the animal itself. What have we demonstrated? That very issue of setting up, of appointing a court executor to arrange for tam damage payments. Payment, the damage meaning the tam wrought the damages. Do we set up? Do we appoint an executor? That's a machlokes tanoim between Sumchus and the Chachamim. The Gemara continues. The sefer b'may komifli. What's the basis of the controversy, the disagreement that we see in the sefer of the Tanaic source above? In the Sefer, we saw Sumchus versus Reb Yossi. The Gemara responds, Rishus Mishana Ika Binayu. Change in status of owner or location of owner, does it affect the status of the animal? Sumchus Savar Rishus Mishana. Sumchus is of the opinion that an animal that had been had become a muad under the ownership of an imbecile, when that owner becomes sane, or when the owner who had been abroad returns, it regains its original tam status. Rabbi Yossi sova reshus eino mishana. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. If it achieved muad status under the ownership of a cheri sheiter katan, the fact that the status of the owner changes or the owner returns from abroad, that does not change the muad status that the animal had achieved. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows: Hesber Shitas Reb Yankiv. The Shor Cheru Sheita V'Katan Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Reb Yankiv is going to appear in our Gemara, saying that the shor, the ox that gores, that's owned by one of these inepts, pays half damages. As the Gemara goes on, I want to point out there's a subtopic that will figure in our discussion, and the subtopic we entitle on the side Tat Nosei. Eizu Rama, at what level shall Shmira of watching, what level of guarding, of watching Bo'inon L'shor Tam, L'shor Muad, for a docile type animal, or an animal that's demonstrated its proclivity toward goring? Aleph, Shmira Pusa, literally a minimum amount of guarding, simply closing the door that's capable of standing up in normal winds. That's called Shmira Pusa. And Shmir Me'ula is a higher level of security would be required. Now, let's turn back to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a source that we're entitling Braiso Kamaiso in anticipation of the use of that term later on. So we have a Tanev source of it reads Shor Cheru Sheita V'Katan Shenogach. Reb Yankiv Oimer. I'm skipping the brackets for a moment. Reb Yankiv Oimer Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. The reason for the skipping is that the words in the bracketed two lines that we have are not they're not accurate. They don't sound right, as the Gemara will point out. Let's read the source again. Shor Cheru Sheita V'Katan, a shor owned by one of these inepts, Shenogach, that gourd, Reb Yankiv Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Literally, Reb Yankiv has to pay half damages. The Gemara asks Reb Yankiv, Maya Vidite, what's Reb Yankiv doing over here? What did he do? Why in the world would he have to pay half damages? Elaimo, rather say more accurately, in the case of a shor cheru sheita v'katan that did damage, Reb Yankiv oimer, Reb Yankiv says, mishalem chatzi nezek. Not that Reb Yankiv pays chatzi nezek, rather, he says that half damages must be paid. That statement is very, either you call it vague or general, hence the Gemara asks. And notice we have a long question. Bemai askinon. What are the circumstances behind this, this source that Reb Yankiv says he pays half damages, as opposed to simply saying Reb Yankiv Michayev, that Reb Yankiv holds responsible, or actually Reb Yankiv Michayev would mean Reb Yankiv obligates payment to be made. So Reb Yankiv in this source is saying half payments must be made. B'mai askinon, what are the circumstances? If you're talking about a docile animal, pshita, It's an obvious statement that half damage is what's paid. The kulei alma nami chatzi nezek u demeshalem. Everyone holds that a short tam pays half damages. V'i b'muad, and if you're talking about a muad animal, well, further clarification must be made. I da avdi le shmira, if the animal was watched. Now Rashi adds I da avdi le shmira. He says Rashi says shmira meula, a high level of guarding was imposed. The nifitza b'layla shibutzu listim, Rashi says, and the gate was broken open at night, or bandits broke it open. Mishimachi potar le min ezek shalem, and as a result of that, so even though it's mu'ad, so no, the full payments would not be made. Then, if that's the case, well, the Gemara now goes on to say that klal lo boy lishlumi, if Shmira was done, then no payment would need to be made at all. And as I said, this expression of Shmira is a reference to the high quality guarding was provided for. So no payment would have to be. Why does Rabbi Yaakov speak about half damages? V'idolo avdi le Shmira, and if no guarding was provided for. And Rashi adds, idolo avdi le Shmira meula. Again, he says that if the of high quality watching was not provided for the muad, then kulei nezek boy shlumi, the Gemara says, then full damages would have to be paid. So what are the circumstances of the chatzi nezek that Rabbi Yaakov says is going to be made in the case of a muad doing damage? We're not familiar with this idea of a muad paying half damages. It would either be all or nothing. In order to answer this, we have on the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note. Triangles will appear. They appear in two different directions. They represent a machlekes amoroyim, e Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaakov, cholkin b'nehem. We will see a machlokes amoroyim, whether there is a machlokes tanoim on this topic. We haven't said what, we haven't spelled out the details of the topic yet, but there, as I said, the markings will show us, will highlight the Amoraic disagreement as to whether or not there is a Tanaic controversy at hand. Omar Rava, li'olam b'muad. Rava says we are, in fact, talking about a muad owned by a cherishet of a cotton having done damage. V'hocha b'mayaskinon, and here that Rabbi Yaakov rules half damages. The avdi shmira p'chusa v'lo avdi le shmira me'ula. The basic level of guarding was provided for, but not the maximum level of guarding. For Rabbi Yaakov, number one. Here we combine opinions and combine, we say, points of view. In fact, you'll see we've numbered three, one, two, and three. Number one, in order to get to this outcome of paying half damages, number one, Rabbi Yaakov is sovar law, Rabbi Yehuda, diomar tzad, tamus b'mekoyma imedes. Rabbi Yehuda, and we've seen this in the past, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, when a shor tam, after it's gored three times, the fourth goring, full damages have to be made. However, the full damage payment is viewed in two parts. Half of the full damage is paid migufo, from the value of the animal, the aggressor animal itself. The other half of those full damages are paid from the assets of the owner of the aggressor animal. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that tzad tamus, the original tam aspect, remains in place. Number two, v'sovar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, and another factor. Now we haven't presented all of the factors together yet. We're only at number two. after seeing all of these different, say, features or details, when we amalgamate them all into one concept, one opinion will then understand what Rabbi Yankiv was saying. What else? Number two, V'savar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda d'amar muad sagi lei b'shmira plusa. Rabbi Yankiv also holds that a shor hamuad, a muad ox, is sufficient for it to be provided with shmira plusa, the lower level guarding. That might sound a bit paradoxical or even contradictory, logically speaking, but these are points that are based on psukim in the Torah. So don't worry about the idea that here we're talking about an animal that's demonstrated a propensity toward goring. It's enough to provide for a shmir plusa. Be that as it, let that be as it is. So Rabbi Yankiv holds also like this point of Rabbi Yehuda, that shmir plusa is enough for a shor hamuad. Number three, v'savar lo kerabonon. Rabbi Yankiv also holds like the rabbonon, the amri mamidim apotropos latam ligvois migufo, that payment is made by appointing a court executor, even if it's a tam that's done the damages. Now, when you put together all of these shitas, all of these points, you end up with a chatzi nezek payment being made by the inepts through the appointment of an apotropos, an executor. And what is meant by the chatzi nezek? It's the half damages reflected by the tam aspect of this animal that's now become a muad. The original tam identity, as we said, remains. Why do we say only half damages and not full damages? Because the minimum amount of guarding was provided, and that's enough to exempt in a case of a muad doing damage. So that accounts for half that's not paid for, the half that was muad. But the original tam aspect of the animal remains. That's a function of Rabbi Yankiv subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda that said tzad tam was b'mekoyim emetis, and we have to account for that, and that's treated with a separate standard. And since only shmira p'husa was provided, that's not enough. Ironically, it's not enough when you're dealing with a shor tam, and hence the chatzi nezek alluded to or mentioned by Rabbi Yankiv above is chatzi nezek for the tam part, tam aspect of this muad animal that did damage. And even though the animal was owned by an inept, we appoint an apotropos to oversee the payment. So in order to come to that conclusion, you notice we had to put together three points, and part of this is the assumption that Rabbi Yankiv agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yankiv accepts Rabbi Yehuda. That leads us into the next opinion. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, the lo pligi, do they not disagree? Namely, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yankiv. V'hatanya, here we have a Tanaic source which indicates to the contrary. It says, Shor shel cheres shaita v'katan shenogach, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, Rabbi Yankiv omer, chatzi nezek hu d'mishale. Rabbi Yehuda says, payment must be made. And Mechayev would have to mean full payment has to be made. And Rabbi Yankiv says half payment is made. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yankiv disagree. That's a problem for Rava. Omar Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba Bar Ula answers on behalf of Rava. Ma she mechayev Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda used the expression in this source, mechayev. Mechayev is a general expression. It means obligates. Rabbi Yehuda obligates payment. How much? Piresh Rabbi Yankiv. Rabbi Yankiv came along and explained how much that is. Namely, half payments. So that they agree, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing whatsoever. They appear together in this source with Rabbi Yaakov simply explaining Rabbi Yehuda. Ula Abaye Domar Pliki, according to Abaye that maintained that they do argue, Bemai Pliki, what is the basis of their disagreement? Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at Rashi. Ula Abaye Domar Pliki, Bemai Pliki. Rashi is just a few lines up from here. Ibatam, if the damaging, the aggressor animal is Tam, Lo ka'omar Rabbi Yehuda nezek shalem. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say nezek shalem. Ver'i b'muad u'shmira p'chusa. And if you're dealing with a muad animal and the minimum level of guarding was provided, ha shaminon lei l'Rabbi Yehuda. We have heard Rabbi Yehuda to say afilu b'shor shel pikeach chatzi nezek v'sulo. Even if the animal is owned by a qualified individual, only half damage would be paid. And in this source, Rabbi Yehuda is not referring to any half damage, as far as Abaye is concerned. V'iba delo natre klal, and if there was no guarding provided whatsoever, then my tam de Rabbi Yaakov, why would Rabbi Yaakov say only half nezek, half payment? So we need to explain through Abaye what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov were arguing about. Notice we have a long answer to the question of B'mai Pligi. What are they arguing over? The Gemara. Omar loch. Hocha B'mai Askinon. B'muad v'lo natre klal. We're talking about a muad animal that was not guarded. Rashi, across from here, says, V'lo natre klal, it wasn't watched at all, V'kom Rabbi Yehuda, nezek shalem. Full damages have to be paid. Hachatzi minu aliyah, half of those full damages will be made by the owners, from the owner's assets. Vachatzi min gufo, and the other half of the damages will be paid from the animal itself. Deshaminon, Rabbi Yehuda lekamon, we'll hear of Shita's Rebuta later on. The Chol Tam V'Naseh Muad, any docile animal that becomes Muad, Tzad Tamus B'Kodim Emetis. The original Tam status remains, it continues into its now new Muad status, Umigufo Nigves. And therefore half of those full damages are paid through the value of the animal itself. In other words, there's, potentially speaking, a cap on how much will be ultimately paid for damages done by a muad. Vehai afagav de les le baile b'nei dea. And in our case, when you're dealing with a chere sheit of a cotton, when you have owners that are not of sound mind, mamidim apotropis letam ligvois migufo tzad tamas. We will set up an executor to arrange for the half payment that is paid from the animal itself. So we now turn back to the Gemara with all of that, after seeing all of the, the introduction that Rashi provides for our understanding of the Gemara. So we continue. We're talking about a muad that was not watched at all. And Rabbi Yehuda had said full damage is paid. What is the makeup of that full damage? So we saw in Rashi. Now, now we go on with understanding with an explanation of Shitas Rabbi Yaakov, who said half damages. Rabbi Yaakov sovar lo kribita b'chada upolig olei b'chada. Rabbi Yaakov agrees with Rabbi on one point, but disagrees with Rabbi on another point. Sovar kribita b'chada, deilu Rabbi Yehuda sovar tzad tamus b'mkoyim omedes. Rabbi Yaakov accepts this idea that the tam status continues into the muad level that this animal reaches. Now, Rabbi Yankiv made reference to a half payment. How do you explain half payment for a muad that wasn't watched at all? We now continue. Upolig olei b'chada. And on a second point, though, Rabbi Yankiv disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Dina Rabbi Yehuda savar ma'amidim le ma'apotrepis letam likvois migufo. An executor is appointed to oversee the tam aspect, the tam payment that's made from the animal itself. Rabbi Yankiv savar, and Rabbi Yankiv who said half damages are paid, ein ma'amidim. No appointment of executor is to be made for tam payments. And as a result of that, velo mishalem elo palga demuad, only half of the payment for the damages will be made, the half that's muad related. The muad related payment, that comes from the yesoimim's or the cotton's assets, properties. And for that, the court will get involved and appoint an executor to oversee that. But as far as the half that would be tam related, which is a payment migufo, that Rabbi Yankiv says, as a result of our not appointing an executor to oversee that, that payment is not going to be made. And hence, Rabbi Yankiv said above, chatzi nezek, and that was half payment, which represented the muad aspect of the animal. Omar le Rav Acha bar Abaye le Ravinot. Notice, first of all, we have a long question marking, and this will take us down a number of lines down the top of Daf Mem. In fact, six lines from the top until we can answer. So, Rav Acha says to Ravina, Bishlama la Abaye yomar pligi shapir. As far as Abaye's analysis is concerned, things are fine. First, let's look at Rashi across from here. Bishlama Abaye yomar pligi shapir muki la b'muad l'masniso kamaisa. Abaye set up the Tanaic source that appeared in the middle of the page that we highlighted earlier as the Brisa Kamaisa. Abaye set it up as a case of a muad having done damage. And we explained how Rabbi Yankiv holds half payment is made. Rashi continues, Debitam leka leukma. To set that source up regarding a tam, you wouldn't set it up like that. Lashmi'inen, in order to tell me demamidim apotropis latam, to tell us, in order to reveal that point, that we would set up an executor. Lashmi'inen lebe masnisa basreisa, because we have heard Rabbi Yankiv in a later Tanaic source, domar ein mamidim, that he holds that we don't set up an executor for that purpose. Therefore, the first Tanaic source, as well, b'muad v'lo natrei klal. We have to set it. We're boxed into that position that it's talking about a muad that received no guarding. And the half payment that represents the muad aspect of the animal is what is paid. Well, let's turn back to the Gemara. So at this point, Abaye and setting up that Brisa Kamaisa is talking about a Shor HaMuad is understandable. Ella LaRava Diomar Lo Pligi. However, according to Rava, who appeared before in our triangle number one, according to Rava, Rabbi Yankiv holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that what? We do appoint an apotropos for tam payments. According to Ravo Diomar Lo Plinki, Ademuki La B'muad, instead of setting up that source above as a muad, and notice we have a little arrow, you can see where Ravo said that earlier, that the Rav Yankiv says Chatzi Nezek was talking about muad, Nukma v'tam. You could have set up, Rabbi Yaakov says, Chatzi Nezek, as referring to a tam. And the Chiddush would have been that Mamidim apotropos Ligvois Mitam, as we saw earlier. We continue at the top of Daf Mem. E le Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi at the top says, either Rabbi Klomar, E k Rabbi Yehuda Svirale. If Rabbi Yankif, who said Chatzi Nezek, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Dharma le Kamon Tam lo Sagi le Bashmira Pusa, that for a Tam, minimum Shmira is not sufficient. Kagon Da'avad le Shmira Pusa, we're talking about a case where Shmira Pusa was provided for, and that's not enough, and therefore Chatzi Nezek has to be paid. So, as far as Rabbi Yankif is concerned, through the eyes of Rava, who said there's no argument between Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yankiv holds that holds that we would set up an apotropos for a tam. Could the source not have been set up talking about a tam? And that had done damage, where Shmira Pchusa was provided for, but that's not enough. Let's read that again in the Gemara. E le Rabbi Yehuda, Diovad le Shmira Pchusa, Veloavad le Shmira Meula, or possibly E le Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, Deloavad le Shmira Klal, or that Rabbi Yankiv holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, that says that a tam suffices with Shmira Pchusa, but in the case of the Shor Cheir Shaita V'Katan that Rabbi Yankiv says you pay half Nezek, no Shmira at all was provided for. And therefore, Chatzi Nezek is made. Tesanya, Rabbi Lozer ben Yankiv Oimer, Echad Tam V'Echad Muad, Sheshamran Shmira Pchusa Pturin. You see here Rabbi Yankiv holds that a Shmira Pchusa is enough for a Tam as well. And as far as Rabbi Yankiv is concerned, who said you pay Chatzi Nezek, the following is the Chiddush v'ha komash malon Rabbi Yankiv demamidim lehmapetrobus latam ligvos migufo. That as we emphasized before, that we set up, we appoint an executor to oversee payment for tam damage that's made from the animal itself. The animal owned by a Cheir Shaita V'Katan. So, in very simple terms, why did Rava have to set up the Braiso Kamaiso, where Rabbi Yankiv said, Mishanim Chatzi Nezek, as a case of a Shor Muad? Rava could have set it up as talking about a case of a Shor Tam, and the Chiddush would have been that Rabbi Yankiv holds that we set up an apotropos Ligvois Bitam. The Gemara answers, Omar Lay. Hachi ka Omar. The question had been posed to Ravina. That was Ravacha bar Abaye asked Ravina. So Ravina answers, Hachi ka Omar. Chado di is be tarti taimo. Here Ravina is functioning in the capacity of someone who's explaining Rava. So what Rava accomplished is he said Muad, and in it setting it up as Muad, and Rabbi Yankiv says you pay Chatzi Nezek, he was able to communicate in one example 2 points. We look at Rashi across from here, Omar Lei Chadad Isbe Tarti Taima Hayu Svirle Le Rava De Lo Pligi Rabbi Yankiv Rabbi Yuda Bekulu Svirle Hachi. Since Rava holds that Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Yehuda don't argue at all, ulahachi ukma Rava b'muad u'b'shmira p'husa, and therefore Rava set up the case involving a muad that was provided with shmira p'husa. The tishma mina, that from that example we can derive the following. Number one. We see that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yudah that the muad aspect, the shmir pluso that's provided, is enough. V'tzad tamus b'mkayim umedes, and the tam aspect remains where it originally was. Ulididei lo sagi le b'shmir pluso, and for the tzad tamus, shmir pluso is not enough. And a second point, v'tishma nami, and we also learn demamidem apotropos latam ligvos migufo, that we appoint an apotropos for tam related payments. So if our whole suggestion, if in the original question was set it up as a case of tam, and the chiddush of amamidim apotropos would be revealed, well, by setting it up as muad, and Rabbi Yaakov say paying chatzi nezik, which Rava did, we in fact do learn that. But we also learn the first point that Rashi pointed out, that for muad, shmir plusa in fact is enough, and that the tzad tamus b'mekoy medicine, for that, the half payment needs to be made, because shmir plusa is not enough for tam. We continue in the Gemara, and this is interesting, insofar as Ravina appears. Ravina structurally would have been the one that just provided the answer to explaining Rava, but that's Ravina in his role as, we'll say, defending Rava. However, Ravina has his own opinion as to the Tanoim, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yudah that we've been discussing till now. That's why we have an inverted triangle, which shows that Ravina follows Abaye in the sense that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Yaakov. However, his presentation of the machlokas is different. And Ravina Omar Rishus Mishana Ikabinayu, the issue of change in animal status as a result in change of owner status is a point of difference. Kigon Dahave Muad, if an animal had been a Muad under the ownership of a Cherish Shaita Vikotan, Venispakeach Acherish Venishtafe Ashaita Vehigdil Akotan, and the Cherish became a Pikeach, the Shaita became normal, became sane, the minor became an adult. Rabbi Yudah Sova Harehu Bechezkaso. Rabbi Yudah says that the animal retains whatever status it had while the owner was inept. If the animal had become a muad, it will remain a muad even though the owner becomes normal. And Rabbi Yaakov Sova Rishus Mishana. Rabbi Yaakov, he is of the opinion that the animal status will change, will revert back to a tam with the change of the owner's status. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.